is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, thanks for tuning in on the second hour of Liberation Station Radio Show, RBN Sunday Edition. I'm Chris Steiner. Website is theliberationstation.com, T-H-E, liberationstation.com. And I forgot to mention in the first hour that I host a show Tuesdays, 8 to 10 p.m. on six Florida stations out of Clearwater. Pardon me just one moment. Out of Clearwater, it's the base station WTAN, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. In Dade City, which is near Brooksville, WDCF, 1350 AM and 102.3 FM. Zephyr Hills, WZHR, 1400 AM and 104.3 FM. That's part of the TAN Talk Network, and it's Tuesdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Starting on the last show, started using Zoom meetings and was hoping to get one going for this show. Starting on the next show is when we're going to start doing Zoom meetings and pre-announcing them so that people worldwide can have dial-in numbers. And some people like to be seen on video. Some don't. They don't have to. They can build community with each other in the chat there. So I was really encouraged that there were 30 people who started out the last show, I'm sure due to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Kevin Silwagon being guests and getting their questions in. So it's really good to have a face-to-face contact. And even though I don't like Zoom because of their Chinese ownership, I wish I could find a better solution that did the various things that Zoom offers, and closed captioning, which makes it easier for notes and helping research and a few other things. So I thought I would just buy a month subscription, and maybe I'll get another month subscription if things work out. If I can't find a better option, if you'd like to tell me a better option, just contact me at the About Contact page at theliberationstation.com. And let's see, Mike in Kentucky. Let's pick up where we left off. I wanted to let you know about the studies I was mentioning that Dr. Brian Hooker participated in, showing that children's healths were better when they weren't given vaccines or given fewer vaccines. And those studies are entitled Health Effects in Vaccinated versus Unvaccinated Children with Covarities for Breastfeeding Status and Type of Birth by Brian Hooker and Doctors Brian Hooker and Neil Z. Miller. That was the latest one from, let me see if I can find the published date, and then I'll give you the second one in just a moment as I, okay, that was, here is the study pulling up now. I think it was, can't find it, I think it was May of this year. I wish they would put the published date here. Okay, they make it, they hide it where you have to click on it. It was published June 12th, 2021. And again, he was on my July 6th, 2021 show. And the second study is, I'm seeing, this is also a recent study, June 25th, 2021, Oh, this is, pardon me, this is the article. I forgot what I was reading here. This is the article Children's Health Defense that refers to the various other studies along the same lines. And Children's Health Defense, the article is study, colon, fewer cases of autism, allergies, and unvaccinated children. A study published this month in the Journal of Translational Science found children who were fully or partially vaccinated were diagnosed with autism, severe allergies, gastrointestinal disorders, asthma, recurring ear infections, and ADD/ADHD more often than children who are completely unvaccinated. And that's childrenshealthdefense.org, June 25th, 2021. Mike, did you have anything to say about that? Is
I'm
Mike,
back
there you
now,
go.
Emma.
Yeah, I
Okay.
hear you. Yeah.
What do you think of Children's Health Defense in general? I mean, RFK is kind of controversial in itself, but he just, I think a lot of that, if you can find it, it's lost on the NIH somewhere. It may be published there if you, find the exact title for the study. Is it, it's actually peer-reviewed and published at this point?
Where did I put that here? Oh, I closed that. I'm sorry.
That's
I
fine.
should be posting this the journal right on my website. Oh, that was the yeah, it's the Journal of Translational Science. Yeah, it was the Journal of
Oh, yeah,
Translational Science. So.
it's probably on NIH probably has that as well. But and there's a lot of stuff on NIH. Some of this they finally started putting a disclaimer up on there in some places I've seen where it says just because we publish something doesn't mean it's endorsed.
Right. Yeah. Well. Right. Science is so unscientific, these days, and a lot of the studies don't even have the methods section anymore. So, whatever happened to the scientific method? Yeah, it is. The study is on the NIH's website. I just found. So.
Yeah, the method section is disappointing to see missing, but at least the abstract explains it to where somebody like me who's just got a I've just got a graduate degree in communications, I can struggle through it and see what their purpose of the study is, and explain it to where you can. Weigh it for yourself somewhat. I've got a nephew that's foo-fooed. I sent him the link to the FLCC stuff for like C19 early, and I asked him a few weeks later what he thought about it. He said, "Well, this." Or initially, he said, "Wow, this is an interesting collection of science." And he's about to get his doctorate, I think. But then a few weeks later, he said, "It takes teams of people to go through this stuff to determine if it's." Valid or not, he was like really irritated about it. I think because it was, and he claimed their meta-analysis was skewed to favorable, studies and results for a lot of these early treatment methods. But now they're constantly adjusting it, and they say right on there, submit corrections or opinions or whatever they would like for you to submit. New studies and new, information that corrects them. And I've seen some of their studies get what you would call it, the effectiveness get lowered, like the one with carrageenan and iota down in Brazil, I think it was. They did some crazy amount of, they swapped nasal passages with ivermectin, and initially they showed a 97 maybe, effectiveness for preventing COVID in these healthcare workers that were repeatedly daily exposed to patients. And it was, but they've since revised that downward to like 97%, I think. So it's way better than any of the vaccines, to do that as a preventative. And
so that's swabbing carrageenan and what was the other thing? In the nose?
Well, ivermectin, but they say that the carrageenan, after they found it, published the study, they have put a footnote in that said that carrageenan or whatever was not needed. And I have to wonder, why did they want to use that, unless it's for the iodine that might be in that. It's a seaweed extract, right? There's going to be some bioavailable iodine that might
maybe
help
it
to...
just helps it stay put because it's
I don't know.
Gel, like a gel.
I don't know, but I'm sure that that study, a lot of people read that or heard about it from friends or something. They probably swabbed their noses with horse ivermectin. There's probably healthcare workers that couldn't get ivermectin.
Yeah, they rigged the studies. Yeah, they rigged the studies all sorts of ways so they could claim something works. Some, you know, they use something substandard or in a non-standard way, or on sick people, even people who are already sick, or
Did you hear about the Oxford study and the World Health Organization study where they were giving late stage COVID-19 patients up to 12 times the known toxic dose for that hydroxychloroquinone? How is that not murder? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Just desperate to show that desperate to show there's nothing but the vaccine that you need, a vaccine that you need. And
Oxford was in on developing the AstraZeneca vaccine big time. They were a big partner in developing that. So, conflict of interest, and it looks like murder. I mean, there's a few people that asked that question. Oh, right, honorable, polite Dr. John Campbell won't actually go that far. He just says, well, it's bewildering. It's bemusing. How could they get it so wrong? It's right here, and then it's published. What? You know, he's too polite of an Englishman to actually say this looks like murder. He did do a video this week on where he says something. He compares the new antiviral from Pfizer, I think it is. Is it Pfizer or Merck that has the new antiviral that has the same mechanism of action as ivermectin? And he did say a snarky remark about it. Now, nobody is suggesting that they sat on this science while millions of people have died. Nobody's suggesting that. I could pick up on that being snarky or sarcastic, but I think some people, and he's an establishment guy. I mean, he's licensed NIH nurse, and he's making a bunch of money off of his YouTube channel. So I'm sure he doesn't want to get.
I can't fault someone for making money. Just if they don't accept correction, maybe.
He doesn't want to lose his YouTube channel, so he won't go very far.
Yeah, if you have a big YouTube channel, it's Hootube, because they say the owner, said, I think about a year ago, that they're not going to allow anything that contradicts the World Health Organization. So folks started calling it the Hootube. And I just got a strike for posting my last show with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny that I streamed live on YouTube with no problem. But then when I edited it, with the graphics added, commercials removed, and nothing other than the same, nothing really changed. Better quality audio. That's why I do it. And then YouTube, I just saw today, gave me a strike. Of course, they don't explain why, but they say for opposing or contradicting WHO and local health authorities' recommendations, and they can change it at any time. And I'm disagreeing with the strike and saying it doesn't contradict your policy that you link to, that you're telling me it does. This is the same, like I say, the very same video, or my June 15th video where I started out on the broadcast airwaves again, is that was streamed on the radio station's channel. They got a strike, and I didn't think they would, I didn't think they'd ever get a strike, because they pay YouTube for a license to be able to play licensed music. And then I post that same video on my channel, and it's still there. So I don't know why they decided to give strikes. People know that they might wait months or years to, and both Facebook and YouTube wait months or years to come out and say you did a bad thing. And sometimes
YouTube and a lot of these platforms are if you can look for a hashtag that I came up with, hashtag constructive fraud that is the internet, and I've tried to post a bunch of stories under that. It's enough of a unique hashtag that there's not a lot of people using it but me. But I had a channel. I started a channel in 2000 and 2007. I think in the fall of 2007, I subscribed to a few things, one of which was a Channel 8 in Knoxville. And I noticed back last December or so, I took screenshots of it, they had 262 subscribers or something. They only had a few hundred subscribers, which I had 140 subscribers. And when you went to the About section on my channel, I had more views than they did. But then I went down through and looked at their views and my views, and I did a complete audit of the number of views. And I was missing like 4,000 some odd views, and they only had like 82,000 views. But I noticed that all of their views, there was like sometimes 0, 2, 3, 5. There was very few videos that had more than just a handful of views on their channel. Well, I showed that on my local cable access channel, and I posted it on my Facebook channel. I said, look at here, I'm beating a full power CBS Knoxville affiliate with hundreds of thousands of viewers potentially, and my little channel is beating them. And well, lo and behold, they must have had an intern, or somehow word got around to them, because they bought in stages a couple of big batches of fake subscribers, and their view counts started going up a little bit. And occasionally now they'll have one that hits, 4,000 or 5,000 views. But that's one of the things that I read about when you buy fake, and like Obama bought fake Twitter followers early on in his campaign. You don't get what they call it, organic views. Your organic view count doesn't go up for your channel. So, but now,
right, they're so conceited. They're so conceited that they don't just think, why don't we spend more time instead of buying views or viewers, paying someone to rig the ratings or the views, or, like you can pay Google reviews to take down bad reviews I've seen. And why not just spend a little bit more time in telling the truth? If you just told the truth, that's what people like, and you don't have to think of yourselves as, prestigious broadcast journalists, and because you're on airwaves, just because you're on airwaves, they think that people are going to want to tune into you. And, proof of that is when they're on, I think I look at these local TV stations, and despite they have 24-hour transmitters, they're on Facebook. And, they're having their newscasters sometimes reach out and, talk to people. But, they feel like they have to involve people, and then they have to censor them or ban them sometimes, or they threaten to. Like one newscaster, she was talking about this was last year, about getting back the measles. And I just linked to the insert where death is an adverse reaction that I read earlier in the last hour. And then she says, oh, well, that's not true. I'm going to delete that later. She never did, but, just how revealing how she panicked just when I was just linked to the insert, and she didn't bother reading it. I mean, she did read it. She started to read it, and she caught herself, and she knew that, oh, that's, I'm not supposed to be reading that. So
it's a fun thing when you go to have a baby, and they start selling you all these vaccines, and you say, well, what about the vaccine that I saw advertised in my parenting magazine? It's low E, no aluminum, low adjuvants, and no mercury. Can I get that shot? No. Well, we'll talk to the procurement officer, and a month or two later, it's getting close to the time to get that shot, and they'll say, well, we can't order that, but we'll order a whole case of six, and you can give the rest of them away. You'll take what's given. It's your social responsibility out of the whatever, the big brown jug or whatever they've got there, the mass dose free stuff that they get from the whoever it is, Center for Disease Control, which is a for-profit, by the way, apparently. Dun & Bradstreet has all their offices listed down in Georgia. They're a for-profit, are they not?
Well, they are. It looks, I can't say for sure, but it looks like they're I don't know what they call it, hybrid, but that's fascism, if you ask me. What's a corporation doing, part, with divided allegiances like that? So
yeah, it's like being half pregnant. You know, you're either you're for profit or you're working for the government. Which is it? But now one of the listings for Dun & Bradstreet shows a alternate name that is traded on Wall Street. Apparently, it's under a different name. That's some kind of a operation. Kind of sounds like the what is that? CIA has NQTEL, the tech sector trading operation. They've got to steer technology the way they want it to go, where they keep their investments rolling into about 600 different companies, supposedly. It's called NQTEL. So maybe that's the investment arm of the CDC is part of it that's for profit. You can imagine the insider trading you can do there, you know, steering things you want to go the way you want it to go and quashing that which you don't want to, you know, to succeed. I think in a lot of ways we have an illusion of corporatism or what do you call it, capitalism. There's an illusion, and forget free enterprise, you know.
right. You know, it's fascist to have a product that doesn't have liability, and life insurance won't pay your survivors, and so many people who are being injured by it and ignored on, you know, like Ron Johnson a couple of weeks ago had that conference with so many people who were injured, and I was really shocked to see that there are so many stories of athletes collapsing on the court on the last High Wire with Del Bigtree at thehighwire.com last Thursday, where he was playing different clips and videos of athletes falling, like, you know, down on the basketball court, and then playing a whole spiel of news clips. He said he had over 75, and I'm going to have to go back, see if there's a transcript or make my own, of 75 stories of young athletes just collapsing. We don't know, as he said, if they've been given shots, but this is not a common thing. And think about, the basketball player back in 1993 passed out in the locker room, and that was a big deal. I'm trying to look that up here, but anyway,
there's several cases of that where young, virile athletes, and I've listened. I'm not a sports fan by any stretch of the means, but I pick up on a few things. Like, I think it was Kyle Macy, the famous Untouchables. I think they called him, the team in University of Kentucky. They had like four or five of those guys that were like the, you know, top. They were credited with winning the NCAA or whatever for Kentucky a couple of years in a row. But he talked about how in practice they would lose up to 5 to 10 pounds of body weight just from sweating in practice. And so some of these athletes that just go funk and fall over, that the when I've heard it, they will explain it as an undetected heart problem. And my immediate thought is, what's their intracellular magnesium? You know, what's their electrolyte? If they're sweating out that much, they can't possibly, and Gatorade doesn't have any magnesium in it, by the way. They sell that as an electrolyte. And it's not the product it used to be. It's full of high fructose corn syrup, and they just put more salt in it to make it not too sweet. That's why I mentioned that calm magnesium earlier. I think that's one way you can try to keep from falling down.
Peter Gillum's products. I know magnesium's a great nutrient. Most people are deficient, and you know, it's needed for muscle relaxation. Potassium and magnesium are mostly expended for relaxation, and then calcium for contraction. And I know Peter Gillum is a local here in Clearwater, and there are different types of magnesium, but you know, I get most of mine from the least expensive way, even though I have some supplements that were given to me of other forms. I take Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate, and I dissolve it in purified water, and along with Himalayan salt, which has over 90 minerals, I pump that through my water ionizer, so I get mineral ions.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the, just so since you're into minerals, I thought you should know, Mike, that that's what I think is the best. Well, that's my major source of minerals, even though I take supplements. But I noticed that with magnesium, if I, you know how it has a laxative effect, so if
I never
any
had that
form,
problem with the calm magnesium, but one of the reasons that I started using this so much is twofold. Is I saw an old movie one time. I was just flipping channels, and I saw this old movie where this guy opens up a tin of magnesium or some kind of toothbrushing powders, and I was like, "Oh, powder! I could use that because I had a dentist tell me I had brushed my teeth so hard that my enamel was almost see-through. And in 6 weeks or so, I went back after a cleaning, and she was like, oh, what are you brushing your teeth with? And apparently it made such a huge difference in my enamel that she was astonished. And I said, well, I'm not telling you because you keep telling me not to brush my teeth with peroxide or whatever. And she said, okay. And I told her it was calm magnesium. And she said, well, I'm going to have to look into that because I guess there's something ionic about it. But it's never caused me laxative effect, which I've, you know, the...
Bobby, how much? What's the most you've taken?
The most I'm taking generally is maybe a half a teaspoon to brush my teeth, and sometimes I'll have a teaspoon and a cup of hot water. You know.
Well, that's not usually enough for most people to be lax. I mean, say 2 tablespoons of most forms of magnesium would cause laxative effects. So if I like the Epsom salt, if I take 2 tablespoons straight, I notice that I have the same laxative effect as if I have about 1/8 of a teaspoon that's ionized, that I've dissolved in the water and ionized. So that's gives me some kind of idea for absorption. And you know, when I feel like I've been sweating out a whole lot, then my muscles are cramping up, then I'll drink some and drink. Described how I make it, and in about 15 minutes the cramps will go away. But you know, I'm sure that's true with a lot of, if you take any form of magnesium in a high enough quantity, it'll go away in 10 or 15 minutes.
This stuff is a magnesium citrate or something, and that's what I've wondered about when it comes to Epsom salts. Or it's not a magnesium citrate. What is the stuff you take when you're doing they do a scope on your colon? That's
magnesium citrate.
It doesn't absorb, right? It just goes right on through you. Yeah, so this stuff is very absorbable, and I've taken larger amounts of that and still not got any kind of a laxative effect from it. It's not sold as a laxative, but now Epsom salt says right on the bag what you're saying, take 2 tablespoons and you have a laxative effect within so many hours. But at least every bag I've ever read. But I have to wonder how much of it can be absorbed. But what you're doing with it to make it into an ionized form, it's probably much more absorbable like it is in a plant. Like, I've heard you have to, in order to get an adequate amount of magnesium to keep going into magnesium deficiency, you have to eat something about 2 pounds of organic spinach a day that's grown in good soils that has magnesium. That's, they're regularly putting the magnesium back in a form of Epsom salts or tomatoes or something like that, where they're really putting that stuff back into the soil. Otherwise, you're not going to get enough in your diet.
Right, like right. You know, it's about the ions that disassociate from the mineral to be transported across the cell membrane into the cell by, like, a hydroxychloroquine being an ionifer that does the ionifer like this minerals that are antiviral. You know, zinc, copper, selenium, silver. Silver isn't, all those are in the RDA, FDA's RDA, except silver, so you have to have them, and they're birth control for viruses once they get inside the cell with things like quinine, quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, and that's how I'm thinking that maybe bombarding myself with all these mineral ions, plus the other qualities of the ion, though, alkaline ionized water, like it has lower surface tension, so it absorbs better, and antioxidant, it's the electrical quality adsorbs. It's like the charcoal and the bentonite clay, the adsorption effects, where you can soak food in it and because it draws out it'll also draw out color, but it'll draw out toxins, the positively charged toxins and pathogens. And the food will taste a lot better, last longer, and the produce will often start growing again. That's my little elevator speech. People might have heard me say on that before. Be good to to do a taste test with food that you soak in any other kind of water or not at all, and see the difference in taste. These pesticides are oil-based, so they won't rinse off in rain, but when you have ionized water that... You find oil and water can mix and be emulsified, and oil does wash off, get drawn out and washed away. All right, Mike, we have 2 other callers. If you want to hold on, I have a couple of comments info for you. This is Chris Steiner. We'll be right back on the Liberation Station radio show.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone, yet everyone's on their own. Everything that I am, I adore. It's the reason the life's for. It's my heart that I need to be sure. Keep it pure.
Coming back to Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, your host for the last half hour here on RBN. And I'll get you two callers, Andy in Texas, Pat in Texas. Oh, and but first Art in Georgia after we finish with Mike in Kentucky. And all right, Mike. Mike dropped. Thanks. Thanks, Sam. And thanks for calling, Mike. It was a great call. Look forward to talking to you in the future. If you want to call back in, I'd like to know where your contact information is, Facebook or anywhere online. And I want to let you know where I was finishing up was that talking about being pure, purifying your produce, your food, And that process of adsorption, the freshly ionized alkaline water, the more alkaline, the better it is at adsorbing. And calcium bentonite clay and activated charcoal and zeolite, which from what I'm reading, you want to get non-micronized zeolite or non-pulverized because it might have or tests higher for much higher for toxins, assuming it's been released from in the pulverization. So those are items that are adsorbers that bind with toxins that are positively charged and germs that are positively charged. So that's called the van der Waals forces, if you want to check that out. VanderWaals. It's three words, van der Waals. VanderWaals. And to tell Mike also that Rand Paul did make a criminal referral on Fauci about 2 months ago. And since then, the NIH, about 2 weeks ago, admitted that, yes, there was gain-of-function research going on through EcoHealth, Peter Daszak, mm-hmm. and control there. He's also an accomplice in this global biological warfare on the world. And the NIH said that, of course, as Rand Paul has said, Peter Fauci tried to defend in his testimony by ignoring Rand Paul's insistence that, no, I'm not saying that you released COVID, that this COVID virus is the one that you engineered, but you've engineered viruses that this COVID virus could have come from your engineering that wasn't approved. And Fauci said that it did not fall under gain of function. NIH, as I said 2 weeks ago, says, yes, they did. So Rand Paul set him up for the good people at NIH to come out and say that. I'm assuming there's a good faction, but they did whitewash it by saying that we don't know if we didn't know or couldn't have known if any of these viruses were more deadly. And I don't know how that could be any defense. All right. So, in the Beagle video, I just saw the videos of the Beagles being tortured and murdered. Yeah, you can murder dogs. Well, after you torture them, I mean, I think that that's how they look at it. They look at it as murder. And the videos of this Tunisian studies that Fauci has funded are ongoing through January 2022. So for another 2 months or so, I'm not sure the exact date in January 2022, but it's horrible. The video that I just came across, if you want to look at it, it's facebook.com/chris.steiner1. facebook.com/chris.steiner, S-T-E-I-N-E-R, then the number one. And they urge us to call Tony Fauci at the end of the video. His number is 301-496-2263, his office. For Anthony Fauci, if you'd like to give him a piece, is 301-496-2263. And Mike, I hope you're also listening, so I can tell you that these ancient types of wheat that are apparently less problematic for gluten intolerant people, or really, you know, they say gluten intolerant, a lot of people are, it's just the pesticide. They can eat the same kind of wheat in other countries that aren't treated with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides as heavily. But these ancient wheats are things like Kamut, K-A-M-U-T, which that's the trademark name but the non-trademark name is Khorasan, K-H-O-R-A-S-A-N, I believe. Khorasan, K-H-O-R-A-S-A-N. Yes, A-S-A-N. That's how it is for Kamut. And then the other ones, the other ancient wheats are Einkorn, Emmer, Spelt, and Triticale. They're very genetically different and lower in gluten than the hybridized wheats that are hybridized to be more gluten rich, and their nutritional profiles aren't as good overall, although some of their nutrients are a little higher. But and what for example, the amino acids they can produce and the minerals they absorb from the soil. I also want to comment that it's also okay for the gluten intolerant people to eat, to have wheatgrass juice, because these cereal grains do not produce gluten until they start to split, bifurcate, or until the blade of grass starts to split off, become two blades, or split off, become a stalk as the stalk starts to grow. So once you have wheatgrass and you juice it, then you shouldn't have any concern for gluten, which I've heard people discouraged from doing that. And I know that there are other things in wheat, like lianins, that can be a problem. So if someone does have a problem with wheatgrass juice, it could be something else. And they might want to try an ancient wheatgrass. That's what I like to grow, Kamut, because it's a lot sweeter. It's almost twice the carbohydrate content, so it's a lot sweeter. A lot of people don't like wheatgrass juice because it tastes like lawn clippings, but it is so nutritious. It's the best multivitamin that you can make on your own, grow on your own, have it within 10 days. And I used to grow it for local health stores, and it was very easy to get their business. Just give them some samples of the Kamut wheatgrass. Their biggest wheatgrass fans would come in and taste it and say, "I'm hooked." And so they would always order more when I brought it to the deli. And that's what I'm speaking of, is the deli, but I also sell to the produce departments. Of course, produce manager, all he had to do was take a taste test and he was sold. So Kamut, K-A-M-U-T, is a very good grain. A good book on that is by Betty Kamen, PhD, K-A-M-E-N. It's entitled Kamut, A Healthy Grain for an Ancient Grain for a Healthy Future. That's what it is. And you can get a lot of information and nutrition on that. Other good resources on wheatgrass going back are Ann Wigmore, who's the founder of the Hippocrates Institute, the late Ann Wigmore, who died in a fire to save her educational or her research material. And lastly, Victoris Kolbinskis, Survival into the 21st Century, is a good book that, gosh, I think at least 30 years old. That's Victoris Kolbinskis, Survival into the 21st Century. Has a lot on wheatgrass and sprouts. So that's really where the popularity of it started, and reporting on concentration camp survivors who did much better because they survived on eating wheatgrass, tried to convince others to eat who didn't do so well. So and the analysis of the nutrition from that, what's in these cereal grains, these wheatgrass, oatgrass, ryegrass, these different other kinds of grasses, and looking at what's in them, and it's amazing that they provide all your essential amino acids. The nutritional profile of wheatgrass, like Kamut, is right at the same nutritional profile as spirulina. I was amazed when I looked at each nutrient, that they were the same pretty much. So I just want to let everybody know that as we become more self-reliant. And Art in Georgia, I'll get to you in just a moment. And first, I'm just going to quickly get to what I promised, this little article. Scientists sue Merck, alleged fraud, mislabeling, and false certification of MMR vaccine. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, MD, June 25th, 2012. Vaccinationists tell us we don't understand science. Well, maybe they are right. Quote unquote science in the world of vaccines could mean throwing out results that don't fit the desired outcome, throwing out the evidence before the FDA comes to inspect, offering bonuses to scientists who deliver the necessary results. I was the head technician in biochemistry lab for 2 years prior to medical school, yet I never saw science carried out like that. Maybe Temple University was just a bit behind the times in its evolution of science. This is the story of the MMR vaccine and two Merck scientists who filed a lawsuit in 2010 over Merck's efforts to allegedly, quote, defraud the United States through Merck's ongoing scheme to sell the government a mumps vaccine that is mislabeled, misbranded, adulterated, and falsely certified as having an efficacy rate that is significantly higher than it actually is, end quote. Merck allegedly did this from 2000 onwards in order to maintain its exclusive license to sell the MMR vaccine and keep its monopoly of the U.S. market. Folks, if you haven't already heard this elsewhere, this is huge news. Here is Hillary Butler's excellent account of the ordeal, as well as both the 2010 and 2012 alleged legal complaints. In the complaint, the scientists outline in great detail exactly how Merck manipulated the efficacy results in order to be able to say they had a 95% efficacy vaccine, effective vaccine, so that they could meet the fairy tale goal of vaccine-induced, quote-unquote, herd immunity by 2010, end quote. Well, it turns out that the vaccine could not meet the goal that that CDC projected to eradicate mumps by 2010, because the vaccine in its current state cannot reliably confer immunity and is in fact a dilute version of what it once was when Maurice Heilmann invented it using the virus of his five-year-old daughter. The same viral mumps strain has been in use in every mumps or MMR vaccine Merck has made since 1967. In order to mass produce live but non-effective vaccine virus, the quote-unquote wild virus from 1967 has had to be quote-unquote passaged through different cells or animals over and over and over. In that passaging, mutations take place that render the virus non-infective or quote-unquote attenuated, but also those many years of passaging the same original viral strain has lowered the antigenicity or the antibody-stimulating capacity of the virus. When testing was performed to show the efficacy or neutralizing antibody-provoking potential of the 40-year-old virus strain for use in the newer combination mumps vaccines, Merck scientists could not produce a 95% efficacy rate. Merck got the old virus to pass its new test by doing three things. First, they tested efficacy on the vaccine strain virus and not the wild virus, as had previously been done. The testing is done by vaccinating children and testing the ability of their blood to neutralize the virus before and after the vaccine. There should be a marked difference between the two tests. For the new testing method, the children's blood was tested for its ability to neutralize the virus using the vaccine strain virus, instead of the wild type strain that is much more infective and the one that your children would most likely catch. By using weaker virus, the old vaccine strain virus allowed the neutralization to occur much more easily, but still it was not 95% effective. In order to make the blood pass to tests, antibodies from rabbits was added. The addition of rabbit antibody increased the efficacy to 100%, but that was not the end, because the test has had to be done on pre-vaccine blood and post-vaccine blood. Just the addition of rabbit antibody made the pre-vaccine blood go from 10% positive to 80% positive, and that was such an obvious sign of foul play that yet another manipulation had to be made. The desired end result is to have very low pre-vaccine viral neutralization and 95% or more post-vaccine viral neutralization. So yet one more change in the procedure was made. In pre-vaccine, quote-unquote, positive tests were all recounted. None of the post-vaccine tests and none of the pre-vaccine negatives were recounted, just the pre-vaccine positives. According to the Merck scientists, they did this by fabricating the, quote-unquote, plague counts on the pre-vaccine blood samples, counting plaque count. So starting over, according to the Merck scientists, they did this by fabricating the quote-unquote plaque counts on the pre-vaccine blood samples, counting plaques that were not there. The test is called a plaque reduction neutralization, or PRN assay. Plaques are areas on the cell culture dishes where a virus attacks cells, demonstrating viral activity and lack of immunity. Because the rabid antibodies were used in the pre-vaccine test, there was positive PRN, meaning that the pre-vaccine blood looked immune, or that there was plaque reduction. This was not desired when wanting to show that the vaccine is what led to the immunity, where you would only want the post-vaccine samples to have positive PRN or a reduction in plaques. So the pre-vaccine positive PRN assays were recounted because there were not enough plaques to show the desired result. That virus was active in the pre-vaccine tests. According to the scientists, plaques were counted where there were none. This allowed a mathematical dilution of the pre-vaccine positive PRN tests, turning them negative. The complaint says that 45% of the pre-vaccine samples recounted were revised. According to the complaint, the plates used to recount the pre-vaccine positive PRN tests were discarded just before the FDA arrived to inspect. While this alleged fraudulent activity was occurring in Merck's labs, two courageous scientists voiced their objection. They claimed to have been told that if they called the FDA, they would be jailed. They were also reminded of the very large bonuses that were on the way after the vaccines were certified. If what the scientists claim is true, the net result of Merck's questionable activity was epidemics and outbreaks. It is known that the mumps component of all MMR vaccines from the mid-1990s has had a very low efficacy, estimated at 69%. And that study is from by Harling in 2005. The outbreak started in UK and Europe in 1998. USA's outbreaks began in 2006. These mumps outbreaks have already been proven not to be the result of failure to vaccinate, but vaccination failure. And now it looks to all to be a result of Merck's cooked books, used in order to maintain a commercial monopoly to generate increased revenue from increasing numbers of bonuses. And that is that article. I mentioned measles all this show starting out in that because as I was leading up to, it's in the news that the World Health Organization is and CDC is trying to claim that it's a huge threat coming up. The vaccine is the MMR vaccine is what's spreading it, as I'm outlining here. This article, World Health Organization, CDC warn of measles threat at WebMD is the news from November 11th by Robert Preet and Robin Foster, if you would like to check that out. So, Art in Georgia, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Oh, great. I'm sorry to take so long. I just had to keep my promise. What's on your mind?
I always love listening to Mike when he calls in. He's always just a wealth of information. It's fantastic. But, you know, you're talking about vaccines and stuff and, you know, little comments going on in the chat room about food and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a problem with people like Fauci when they try to tell us that natural immunities are not nearly as effective as vaccines. And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, if that be the case, then you explain to me how I've not had a vaccine in over 35 years, and I've not even had so much as a common cold in over 25 years. And I, you know, in all of this time, I have sat in hospital emergency rooms, not because I was sick, but because I had to take somebody to the emergency room. And I'm sitting in there during that big measles outbreak we had not long ago. I'm not vaccinated for that, but I had measles when I was a child. Gee golly. You know, then there was the H1N1. I wasn't vaccinated for that, but I'm taking people to the hospital. I'm sitting in the emergency room, again, surrounded by people who are sick. First time with the measles, then, you know, the H1N1. Well, H1N1 came before that. But I'm sitting surrounded by these people. I'm not wearing masks. I've not been vaccinated. Oh, but you know what? I had the H1N1 back in 1972 when we had that big outbreak, and I was only 9 years old then. Sick for a couple weeks, bam, back in school, not a problem. I'm surrounded by sick people all the time. I've been in contact with two separate individuals who tested positive 2 days after they were in contact with me. They were sick and tested positive for COVID. One of them had to actually go on a respirator, which was kind of sucked for him. But yet, here I am, again, not vaccinated. I'm up there in the years. Okay, I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm up there in the years. And I'm at high risk because I have emphysema. I quit smoking in 2015. That's smart move. Second smartest thing I ever did in my life. But yet, all of this, I'm not vaccinated yet. I'm not getting sick. And people want to know why. Well, two reasons. One, I don't shower every day. I allow myself to stay dirty. This causes my body to constantly be fighting off bacteria and stuff so that I have a good, strong immune system. The second thing is you walk through my yard. I only have 1 acre, but you walk out through my 1 acre, and there's almost no place where you can step where you're not stepping on food. It's all wild, natural, green. The rabbits love it. Right. I love it. The chickens love it.
Fresh,
it's great.
Fresh-picked energy. You get your energy fresh-picked.
And that's what I tell people. You got to get off the damn back.
I think that another reason, Art, is just because we're running out of time here, and I promised this article I'd read, but I'll just give the title, is that it's at vaxinfostarthere.com, vaxinfostarthere.com, entitled Childhood Infectious Diseases Protect Us from Cancer Later in Life, on the MMR or measles versus MMR vaccine risk and benefits. I won't read all this, just to mention the highlights of getting measles protect. There are studies showing that cancer in general helps protection from febrile infectious childhood diseases in the history of cancer patients, and matched control is that study. Acute infections as a means of cancer protection. Well, I won't go into all the ovarian cancer, brain cancer, lymphoma, leukemia, colon and rectal cancer, and cardiovascular disease. So, cardiovascular disease is reduced, then maybe it's because you're getting more oxygen.
Well, you know, like I tell people, you gotta get off of the vaccines, you gotta get off of that processed food, you gotta get back to eating natural foods and live healthy.
That's right. Well, Art, we're out of time. Thanks for calling. Sorry for everyone, I couldn't get to you, Pat. This is Liberation Station Radio Show. Try next week or Tuesdays on my show. TheLiberationStation.com is the site. I'll take great care.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the report.